My subject tonight is the weeping prophet and his message. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He wrote in Jeremiah 9, "Oh, that my head were waters, and that my ears, my eyes were fountains of tears. That my head were waters and my eyes were fountains of tears, that I might weep day and night for my people, for they know not God." And the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 9, I'd like you to turn there, Romans the 9th chapter, verse 1 through 3. The Apostle Paul wrote here Romans 9, 1 through 3. "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great sorrow, great heaviness, and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Over there in chapter 10, verse 1, he said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God, Israel, for Israel, is that there might be saved." The weeping prophet. I heard a person say one time, "You know," he said, "I just love to preach. I just love to preach. I love to stand in the pulpit and preach." And the reply came back, "That's good. It's good to be a preacher and it's good to preach. But it's more important that we first love the people to whom we preach." That's the key. That's the key to Paul's ministry. That's the key to Jeremiah's ministry. I love the people to whom I preach. In 2 Timothy 2, I'll just quote this for you. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, Paul wrote, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, argue, quarrel, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." That's their opposition, is to themselves. They're confused, they're troubled, they oppose themselves. "If peradventure, if we can teach, be patient in meekness, and teach them, if peradventure, that God give them repentance, to acknowledging the truth." I'd like for you to turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians and hear the apostle again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. "But we were gentle," 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7, "but we were gentle among you, even as nurse here, mother, even as a mother cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, of your salvation, of your contentment, of your joy, being affectionate, desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel only." We must not just depart the gospel only, but we'd be willing to impart unto you our own souls, because you're so dear to us. And it's very appropriate then, if I speak from the writings of this man, I want you to turn now to Jeremiah chapter 6. If I speak from the writings of this man, it's very important for me that I love the people to whom I preach, and that I can preach with a broken heart and a tender spirit, a gentle attitude, patient, willing to teach men. So Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14. Jeremiah 6, verse 14. He says, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people," saying, slightly say, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination?" Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. "Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord." Now then, here is Jeremiah's message to the people. "Thus saith the Lord." We need to be alert when the scripture says, "Thus saith the Lord." This is the Lord speaking. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you'll find rest for your souls. Four things. Stand ye in the ways. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you'll find rest for your souls." Well, here's the first one that he says to us here. Stand in the way. You know, Thomas said to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Lord, we know not where you're going. How can we know the way?" And our Lord said to him, "Thomas, if I have been so long time with you and you not know me, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way. Christ is the way." I found an old hymn in the Gadsby book. And I asked Brother Mike Bartram to put it to music. And this is what it says. Christ the way. Christ is the way. To him alone, from sin and death, we flee. And he whom the Father seeks must seek him in thee. Christ is the truth. His word alone true wisdom must impart. He alone can open my mind and purify my heart. Christ is the life, the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is the life, and that open tomb proclaims his powerful arm. And those who rest their hope in him, nor death nor hell can harm. I want you to turn to the book of Job for a moment. In Job chapter 17, Christ is the way. And Job says here in John chapter 17, verse 9, that the righteous will hold that way. Jeremiah said, "Stand in the way." And here in Job chapter 17, verse 9, "And the righteous shall also shall hold on his way. And he that hath clean hands," our hands are washed in the blood of Christ, and they're clean. And those that have clean hands will grow stronger and stronger and stronger. I gave you an outline on this verse some time ago. The believer shall hold his way, stand in the way of Christ. He may not always travel with equal speed, but he'll hold his way. It does not say the believer will hold his pace. Says he'll hold his way. "And the believer shall hold his way, which is Christ. He may not always travel with equal success. He may be rich, he may be poor. He may be successful, he may fail. He may be sick, he may be well. But he will not forsake the way of Christ. He will cling to the Redeemer." And the believer will always travel with equal zeal and enthusiasm. He will have times of trial and struggle, but he will come to Christ and keep coming. He'll look to Christ and keep looking. He'll cling to Christ and he will hold his way. The believer, the man whose hands are washed in the blood, justified by the Son of God, will hold his way. I love these old writers. Spurgeon is my favorite, I guess. But Spurgeon wrote on this Job 17:9. He wrote these words. The Bible. That's so. All right, back to my text, Jeremiah chapter 6. Stand ye in the way, hold to Christ, cling to Christ, and see. Now watch this. And ask for the old paths. What's Jeremiah talking about here, the old paths? I've heard some of my primitive Baptist brethren preach from this, and they preach it beautifully. The old paths. What are the old paths? Well, they're the ancient paths. The ancient paths. Jeremiah uses that word ancient in reference to our paths in Jeremiah 18. You may want to turn over there and see it. Mark it in your Bible. In Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 15. Ask for the old paths. In Jeremiah 18:15, because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their way from the ancient paths. They've left the old ancient paths to walk in paths in a way not cast up. The ancient paths. What is the ancient path? I'll tell you what it is. It's the path that Enoch walked when he walked with God. That's the old path. It's the same path that Enoch walked when he walked with God and was not, and God took him. What are the old paths? It's the same path that Abraham walked when he was 75 years old and God appeared to him and said, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. Now you leave your father's house and your kindred and go to land I'll show thee. And Abraham walked that path with God. He walked with God. And then the path that Moses walked was the path that we read about in Hebrews 11. Turn to Hebrews 11 and let's read this path that Moses walked. The old paths. Ask for the old paths. Here it is in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 verse 24. Moses walked with God. And Moses refused some things and he chose some things and he esteemed some things. Now watch this. In Hebrews 11 verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was an unusual child, most unusual. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So by faith, Moses, when he was 40 years old, when he was come to years, number one, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses refused some things. That's the path of the Lord. That's the path we want. He refused some things. Just not going to have it. I'm not going to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm going to be called the son of God. Number two, he chose something. He choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I like that old song, I choose Jesus. I choose him because he chose me, but I choose him. He loved me because I loved him, I love him because he loved me, but I love him. Moses chose to suffer the affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for sin. And then Moses esteemed something. He esteemed the reproach of Christ. Greater riches. He esteemed the reproach of Christ. Greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect until the recompense of the reward. And then Moses forsook something. It said by faith he left Egypt. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who's invisible. And then Moses remembered something. In verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover. Through faith he kept the Passover. He kept the first one. Then he kept the one year later. Then he kept the next one. Kept the next one. Kept the next. All the way down. Yes, sir. By faith, Moses refused to be called Pharaoh's son, chose to suffer the affliction of the people of God, esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. He forsook Egypt, and he remembered the Passover, the shedding of the blood, the redemption that Christ Jesus purchased for us. The old past. I've been trying to preach these old past for the years that I've been called to preach. And you know what they are? What happened in the garden. I preach it over and over. I preached it time after time. And what happened in the garden? Man fell. Through one man's sin, we all died. Trespasses of sin. What happened on the cross? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we healed. What happened in the heart of a sinner when he finds mercy in the favor in the hands of God, in the way of God? Ask for these things. Ask for the old past. You know, our generation is clamoring for something new. We're talking here about the old paths, the ancient paths, the way that Enoch walked and Abraham walked and Isaac and Moses walked. This is the way of God, way of salvation, where the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. We'll never get sight of the gates of life the way of the cross we miss. And people today are clamoring for something new. For example, there's a new translation of the Bible printed almost every decade. Do you know that? A new translation. We don't need a new translation of the Bible. Not at all. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Verse 10. I find this true. I haven't examined all these translations, but I've examined a few of them, and I picked up one and looked at it, and I read Luke 19 and verse 10. In verse 9 and 10, our Lord is talking to Zacchaeus, and Jesus said to him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And they left that out, Brother Mark. They left it completely out. I don't know why. I cannot to save my life. That's the key of it. That's why he came. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. And when they printed this particular translation a few years ago, they just flat left that out. New translations. New music. They call it contemporary. What does contemporary mean? Well, it means in the dictionary, recent. But it means really our way. We're going to do it our way. You remember that old song, Mother, please, I'd rather do it myself. I'm going to do it my way. New music, contemporary music, do it our way. New words for old truths. And I read in the paper not long ago that they want a new style of dressing for worship. They want to do away with, I guess, coats and ties and ladies' dresses and all these the proper way to dress to go worship God. They want you can wear your shorts to church. You can go come like you are, come in your bathing suit. Or just new styles. That's what they're talking about. New styles of worship. New styles. And then there's a new format for worship. It's no longer be still and know that I'm God. It's now noise. Just noise. Entertainment. Laughter. Jokes. A new way. Our generation wants something new. We need to go back to the old paths. The old ways. The ancient ways. That's right. Somebody wrote this not long ago. The churches need to upgrade. The church has outlived its usefulness. Its youthfulness. Well, perhaps that's true. And I'll tell you why. The church lost its way and lost the old past. That's what happened. And it certainly is outliving its usefulness if it leaves the way. Christ said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And we've forsaken the old past. I'm telling you this. The church cannot survive as a social organization. It cannot survive. That's not why God put it here. As a social organization. And the church can only survive as a lighthouse for lost souls. That's why we meet. That's why we come together to worship, pray, preach, and seek the lost. Seek to bring them to Christ. The church can only survive as a lighthouse to illuminate the old past. The church can only survive when the preacher preaches who Christ is and what Christ did and why Christ died and where he is now. Why did our Lord come to this earth? I was reading a sermon Brother Barnard. He gave me his outlines and his writings and so forth, and I profited greatly by it. And he had an outline in here on why Christ died. And this is what he said. I'll give you three scriptures as to why Christ died. And every one of them begin with the word that. THAT. All right, here they are. Christ died in order that God may be just and justified. That's why he died. That God may be just and justified. Why Christ died? Secondly, he died that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's why he died. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thirdly, he died that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace toward us in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why he died. That God may be just and justified. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that he, in the ages to come, he might show forth the riches, the glorious riches of his love and grace toward us in Christ Jesus. All right, back to my text. Let's get back to this text. Jeremiah chapter 6, the message of the old weeping prophet. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the way. Hold fast to the way of Christ. Ask him for the old fast. Don't be satisfied with contemporary or so forth or new things. Just ask for the old fast. If it was a blessing to Moses, it would be a blessing to you. If it's a blessing to Enoch, it'll be a blessing to me. If it's a blessing to Paul, it'll be a blessing to me. Stay with the scriptures. Stay with the old paths. And where's the good way? The good way. All right, I'll show you something here. In 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The good way. The good way. Where and what is the good way? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, really, when the Bible was translated in the King James Version, they made it in chapters and verses. But the Bible originally wasn't written in chapters and verses. It was written in books and epistles and paragraphs and so forth. And sometimes they divide chapters at a pretty difficult place. And this one is divided, is changed or divided in a way that's not really good. It ought to have been stopped right here. Let's start with verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, gifts of healing, and helps, and governments, diversities of tongues. Well, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? Well, of course not. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do they all speak with tongues? No. Do they all interpret? No. But I'll tell you something. Listen, verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts. The best gifts. Now watch this. And yet, show I unto you a better way. The good way. The best way. I'm going to show you the best way. All these other things are necessary, they're profitable, and God uses them, but I'm going to tell you, I want you to covet the best gifts, but I'm going to show you something better than all of them. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I might speak with tongues, but if I don't have love in here for God, for His people, might as well ring an old Chinese gong. That's right. And though I have the gift of prophecy, preaching, and I understand all the mysteries, and I have knowledge, and I have intellect, and though I have all faith, so I can remove mountains, and have not love, I'm nothing. This is better than all these things. Love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned as a martyr, and have not love, it profits me nothing. That's what he said. Where's the good way? Here it is right here. Stand in the way. Stand in the way of Christ. Ask for the old paths. And then look for the good way. Love. Love. Read on. Love suffers long. It's kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It's not proud and arrogant. Love doeth not behave itself unseemly. Love doesn't seek her own. Love is not easily offended. Love thinketh no evil. Love doesn't rejoice when people go wrong, rejoices not in iniquity. Love rejoices in truth. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and really endures all things. And love never fails. Whether it be prophecy, they won't fail. Whether it be tongues, they'll cease. Whether it be knowledge, or what we call knowledge, it'll vanish away. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see through a glass darkly, as in a riddle, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now, abideth faith, that's the way of the cross, the way of Christ. Hope, that's the old past. Hope in His love and mercy, and love. These three, and the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Somebody said this one time about that scripture, faith, hope, and love. There are three main graces. There are three main graces, faith, hope, and love. Faith, by which we look to Christ and receive in Him all things and live in Him. Hope, by which we wait for the fulfillment of every promise in Christ. And love to God and to men. Yet love exceeds all the others as to its duration and use. For faith one day will give way to reality. And hope will give way to seeing for ourselves everything. And love continues. It continues. Faith will give way to sight. Hope will give way to reality. And love only expands. Now, here's the fourth part of this Jeremiah's message, Jeremiah 6. The sixth. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Now the fourth. He said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Walk therein in love and grace, and you will find rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. And I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Now that the God of grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, mature, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. I want to share a story with you, and then I'll close my message. In 1851, about 13 or 14 years before President Lincoln declared the slaves free, Emancipation Proclamation, there was a young boy born down in Georgia to a slave, young black boy, and they named him Charles Albert Tinley. 1851 was when he was born. And when the slaves were set free, he was about 12 or 13 years of age, and he and his family moved up to the north. And he couldn't read or write. And he was a brilliant young man. And he tried to go to school to learn so he could read and write. He wanted to learn to read the Bible. So he studied and he learned to read, and he got a good job, and he became He became the custodian of a large Baptist, Black Baptist church up north. I forget what city it was in. But he became the custodian of the church. And he served as the church custodian until he was 50 years old. And the pastor died. And they held him in such high esteem and love that they called him to be their pastor. And he pastored till he was 83 years old. And he wrote three great hymns. He wrote not only the hymns, but he wrote the music. That's pretty hard to do. He wrote the hymns. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. He wrote that, Mark, he wrote words and music. Another one I think is one that I'm not sure about this one, but there's I knew one other, and it left my mind. But this one is in your book, and it's called "Nothing Between the Soul, My Soul and the Savior's." And we sing it just like "Take Your Burden to the Lord and Leave It There." But here's the words of this song. I just want to quote it to you. Charles Albert Tingley, preacher of the gospel, in his late years, he wrote, "Nothing between my soul and the Savior, naught of this world's delusive dream. Let us renounce all sinful pleasure, because Jesus is mine and there's nothing between. Nothing between like pride and station. Self nor friends shall not intervene. Though it may cost me much tribulation, I am resolved that nothing between. Nothing between even many hard trials. Though this whole world against me convene, must not my heart from him ever sever, because he's my all. There's nothing between. Amen. Stand in the way. Hold fast. Cling to Christ. Yeah. Ask for the old paths. Let's don't go the new route, contemporary route. Let's ask for the old paths. And let's see if we can't learn something about this which is best. Now by faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of thee. Is to love. By this shall all men know you, my disciples, if you love one another. And it starts right here. Just your loving pastor is a loving pastor. You love him. He loves you. I love you. God's preachers love God's people. And they're tender and gentle and kind and loving. Because that's what God called them to do. And then you find rest for yourself. That's where it is. That's where the rest is. All right. Thank you for inviting me. And I love your pastor so much. He means so much to me and all of you. And we appreciate you inviting us down and letting me preach for you. Pray for us. Thank you.